Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues in a verse-by-verse study of the powerful book of Revelation. Never before has John's revelation been more crucial to know and to communicate than right now. The state of Israel, Middle East tensions, European alliances, COVID-19, even our own national unrest are just a few of the precise indicators that Jesus is soon to return for His church. May we all be informed and inspired to speak these truths as we are washed by the water of the Word.
And He put a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies. And if you didn't bow down and worship it, you died. And it is that actual dress rehearsal for who, everybody? The Antichrist, when he shows up. You're going to see genealogy through him all the way to Nimrod. And I bet Cain. So your seed, which is going to eventuate in the Antichrist himself. He's going to bruise your heel, your seed, the seed of the Nakash, but your seed is going to crush Satan's head. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's some more of the story. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brothers, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, write in your margin, that's the rapture of the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by a spirit or by a word or by a letter supposedly from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Evidently, the Thessalonian church was well schooled in end times Bible prophecy. They were well schooled in the rapture. Evidently, there was some rumor floating around that the rapture had come and had left them behind. Paul says, no, don't worry about that. Here, let me explain. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The rapture of the church will not come unless the falling away comes first. This is the word apostasia, and it means turned away from the faith. And some people believe that there's going to be a great turning away from biblical Christian teachings right in and around the time of the Antichrist. That word apostasia can mean taken away. So what does it mean, Steve? Is there going to come a great apostasy, a great turning away from the truth around the time of the Antichrist? Answer, yes. But does it mean the taking away? Yes. I believe it means both. Let's read it in that context. There's going to come the rapture first. And then the man of sin, one of the descriptions of the Antichrist. Then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And look what he does. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above what? All that is called God. There's your Islamics, whatever religion. At first, he comes in as a political, economic answer to a lot of challenging questions on earth. But eventually, his true stripes begin to show, and he demands worship of himself. So that he sits as God in the temple of God. Where is that? That's Jerusalem. This is the temple, the tribulation temple, that has not been built yet, but it's coming. Every element of the tabernacle or the temple of God has been restored by the Temple Mount Foundation and other groups. They are ready to begin the ministrations of this temple at the drop of a hat. They have located the Kohanim. Who are the Kohanim? You could only be of the tribe of Levi, descended from Aaron specifically, to be a priest or a high priest, right? Well, weren't all those records destroyed or lost in the diaspora of the last 2,000 years? Since the Romans burned Jerusalem in 70 AD, How are we going to know who the Kohanim are? DNA. You have DNA in your nucleus of your cells, but in your, also in your cells is a little guy, the powerhouse of the cell, called the mitochondria. And mitochondria also has DNA. But that DNA comes from your mom only. From that DNA and the ability of our supercomputers to map this DNA sequence, they can tell where you come from. When mitochondria DNA mapping became the forefront, according to that, then every single one of us comes from one single female. And Time magazine called her Eve. And then they went, uh-oh. They begin to swab the cheeks of the men and women whose last name was Cohen. Because Cohen in Hebrew means priest. So they swab the cheeks, map the DNA, and they have categorically identified all of those who are of the tribe of Levi. And they have already made their uniforms and their priestly garments. They are ready to go. This temple, the tribulation temple, would only require hours, not days, not weeks, not months. Hours to set up and begin the temple ministrations on the Temple Mount. We have never been so close to this fulfillment. The idol shepherd, Zechariah 11, verse 17, dress rehearsal of Antiochus IV in 167 BC. Verse 5. Now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. That's the works of the devil. Only he, how many of you have a translation that your he is capitalized? That's the translators. They notice something very funny about this word, this personal pronoun, he. Ancient languages, Spanish does, and some of the older language, French and so on, most of their language, they have a masculine and feminine form of the word. It's lost on us in English because we don't have that. If you're going to use the personal pronoun he, take a wild guess what gender would probably be attached to it. This is he in the neuter sense. There's no genitive that is given to it. Very unusual. The translators say, well, who is this he? I know who the he is. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why the translators of many of your translators capitalize the H. Until he, the Holy Spirit, who now restrains the Antichrist, will do so until he is what, everybody? Taken out of the way, right in your margin there, the rapture. Acts chapter 2 was when the church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would never leave you and never forsake you. If he's going to take the Holy Spirit out, who must he take with him? The church. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. The Antichrist is a human who Lucifer is working through. Midway in that last week of the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist, Zechariah says, receives a mortal or deadly wound. His eye is damaged and darkened, and his right arm is withered or can't use it. And this wound is so severe, it's a mortal injury. He is going to die from it. But miraculously, he resurrects. Does that sound familiar? The devil always counterfeits what God is trying to do. A supernatural resurrection. And then after that resurrection, the Bible says, Satan is thrown out of his current access to heaven. All the demons are thrown out of their current access to the heavenlies, to the surface of the earth. Then the devil, who is a fallen angel, he demon possesses the human of the Antichrist. whoever the Antichrist is, the person, he physically does die. My personal opinion, he's going to be gone for guess how many days? Just take a guess. But he's probably going to then be raised. And when he is raised again, he is raised in the supernatural animative power of the devil himself. Verse 9 again. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, when he shows up, it's going to be according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. He's going to pull the wool over everybody's eyes because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, I will not. The knocking of the Lord on everybody's heart. No, Lord, no. God brings a witness to you. No, shut up. Somebody praying for you, stop. You refuse the Holy Spirit's work. You miss the rapture of the church. God will send them, who? The ones that are going to perish. A strong delusion that they should believe what, everybody? A lie or the lie? After exhaustive study and research, I know I'm not supposed to name names, but I think I know who the Antichrist is. I do. You want to see? Don't, you can't tell anybody. But after exhaustive research, I think I've put my finger on the most diabolical personage of all kind. You ready? Here he is. Yeah. That's who that is. I'm messing with you. Diabolical. Him and Plankton and Patrick, they're the unholy trinity. No. Go ahead and hit our next picture. This is Jacques Fabrice Vallée. He was born in 1939. He is currently living in San Francisco. He is a venture capitalist. He is a consummate computer scientist. He is an author. He's an astronomer. And he is also a UFO expert. Oh, great. Steve, you're going to talk about UFOs. Yes, I am. Here's why. Hit our next picture. How many of you remember this movie? That's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It was Jacques Fabrice Vallée who categorized the various levels of extraterrestrial encounters. He was the one who coined the phrase Close Encounter of the Third Kind. Steven Spielberg is so enamored by that, that in 1977, he cast Dr. Truffaut, a French filmmaker. He's a pretty renowned French director who was a good friend of Spielberg. And Spielberg cast this guy in the character of Dr. Truffaut. Who was Dr. Truffaut? Modeled after Jacques Fabrice Vallée. Also, Jacques Vallée co-developed software and hardware for the first digital mapping of the planet Mars. No small task there. He co-developed the SRI International's ARPANET, which was the precursor to the Internet. There he is in younger days. He worked closely much of his life with this man. This is Dr. Joseph Allen Hynek, who died in April of 1986. Who is Dr. Hynek? Hynek was an astronomer and a ufologist, but not just any. He was the scientific advisor to the U.S. Air Force for three projects. Project Sign, 1947 to 1949. Project Grudge, 1949 to 1952. This will ring a bell for many. Project Blue Book, 1952 to 1969. These two guys, they begin to realize, yes, there's lots of wackadoodles out there. But there's certain things that he could not deny. That there are many instances where supposed UFO sightings left behind empirical evidence. Radiation, bent and broken and burnt foliage. Some of these UFO sightings were reported by credible, highly trained observers, airline pilots, military pilots. Why is it that sometimes on different radars, the same unexplained object was moving several times the speed of sound and suddenly takes a 90-degree turn? Here's what is the most fascinating idea. Both of these men, who are very brilliant men, both of them in their authorship have talked about that intergalactic travel is probably not possible. You have to first approach the speed of light. And even at the speed of light, the nearest planets to us are generations away. Here was their startling understanding. They are not intergalactic, but these are transdimensional. Used to be that we thought for sure that there were only three dimensions. Width, breadth, and height. We were three-dimensional snobs. Then Einstein came along and said, nope, there's more than three. There's four. And on a blackboard, he proved mathematically that there was width, breadth, height, and space-time. So then we became four-dimensional snobs, and there are no other dimensions other than that. On the macrocosm, as you get bigger and bigger and bigger, the startling preponderance of evidence that has showed up in the last probably 60 years is that the universe is finite. It's not infinite. And expanding at a certain mathematical precision. So in other words, it doesn't go on forever. It has a finite edge, causing some to believe, if you reverse the film, that means we all started with one big bang. As you go the other way, smaller, smaller, smaller. Theoretically, I get a piece of string, I cut it in half, cut it in half, cut it in half, cut it in half. Theoretically, you should be able to get smaller in an infinite way. And mathematicians have proven that. But the problem is, because of these large hadron colliders that we have invented, we start smashing these things together, and the science has proven you get down to indivisible little tiny elements called quanta. On the big side, turns out we're finite on that side. On the small side, turns out we're finite in that direction as well. Listen to this. Scientific America, June 2005, said, quote, you know what this means? That the visible universe is but a shadow of a larger reality. I wrote in my notes, duh. Everybody hold your Bible up. What? Isn't that what God's word says? That this reality, three dimensions, oops, four dimensions, oops. Last year, you remember the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland? They postulated that the God particle was out there. It's called the Higgs boson. They postulated it. It survived in the mathematical models on the blackboards. But they finally built a big enough machine with enough power. They saw one. It is proof. We used to be three-dimensional snobs. Then we were four-dimensional snobs. You know what we have to be now? There are at least five or more dimensions out there. And God's word says, hello? Where are you going with all this, Steve? The smartest people on the planet have begun to realize there's a finite to the macro. There's a finite to the micro. What that means, we are living in a digital hologram. And the real reality is somewhere out there further. And I say to you, blessed be the name of the Lord God. Because it's in that, thank you, Lord. It's in that dimensional whatever, that's where God lives. When you see an angel, and the Bible says that people have seen them, when you don't see them, where did they go? They're still there. Here's what I'm getting at. Is the lie, potentially, is the lie that's coming, what these guys described, based on our tens of thousands of hours of research, that something is visiting Earth? Credible people, eyewitnesses, empirical evidence, these two lucid, sober-minded, disciplined scientists have said they're not intergalactic, that would be impossible. They are trans-dimensional. They're coming from someplace outside of our dimension. They also say consistently they are deceptive, not beneficial. They even say they are demonic. Let's all stand together. Do you believe in UFOs? You bet I do. But they're not intergalactic, you guys. They are transdimensional. More and more and more, the Bible says that God is going to allow the devil a certain license. And one of the things that's going to catapult him to world dominance is some sort of lie, some sort of miracle that the Bible says shocks the world with open-jawed astonishment. Could it be extraterrestrial landing on the White House lawn and shaking hands with whoever? I don't know. But what if all the CNN cameras covered such an event? What would that do to your faith? Holy Spirit, come. Yeah, we had some fun with the science. The evidence is mounting more and more. There are more documented instances of these transdimensional things that are happening. They're showing up more and more on video. Is this, Lord, potentially the precursor to the lie that everybody buys? Well, I don't know if I believe in the Bible, and I sure don't know if I believe in the rapture. But at least if the rapture does happen, then I'll believe. You may not. The Lord Himself is going to allow this huge lie, this delusion. If you can't receive Jesus today, in the midst of people who love you, who are praying for you, the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart, the witness of His presence, that's why your heart is pounding even right now. What makes you think that when the Spirit is removed and you are left naked intellectually, what makes you think then, in the lie of that powerful delusion, that you're going to receive Him? Christians praying. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. If you want to make sure that you're in the kingdom, I want you to look right up at me and I want you to lift your hand up and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ today. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand right up there. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hand up there and look right at me. Nobody else is looking around. And now pray this. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I am a sinner and I can't stop. I need your supernatural power to save me. Then say, I renounce my sins and I renounce the devil's open door in my life. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in and change my brain from the inside out and heal my heart. Lord Jesus, I give you all of my life. See to it that I change all those things about me that are not about you. You can put your hand down. For the rest of us, whether we're talking about how close the tabernacle is to being built, whether we're talking about because of mitochondria DNA of the Kohanim that are already in place, whether we're talking about the peace treaty that already is trying to be hammered out between Israel and the Palestinians, we are so close to the return of Jesus Christ. And if that's true, how then should you and I be living? Lord, would you show me those things in my life that are trivial, that I've been spending way too much time on? And help me, Lord, to get my life according to your word. It's your turn to put your hand up now. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be messing around anymore. Help me to be sober to the fact that you have allowed me to know this information. And Lord, it is my responsibility to share the soon return of our living Jesus. Use me, Lord. Like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Revelation with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful to understand God's clear plan for these very last days. May the Lord use all of us to tell others of Jesus' marvelous plan of salvation and the obvious signs of His soon return. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.